Well, if you have your Bibles with you, open those Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to begin with this text in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we're going to read verse 13. So wonderful to see everyone today for the fathers here. Happy Father's Day to you. May God bless you, especially as we go through the lesson this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in chapter 16, verse 13, it's a passage where Paul gives, as he concludes this book, a word of exhortation to all Christians. But it's an interesting exhortation that he gives. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Now what's interesting about that is he is speaking to Christians across the board, men and women, and giving these words of exhortation, be strong, be courageous, but he says act like men. Now that's just curious to me. What is it about manhood that Paul would say not only to male Christians but female Christians, you need to adopt the traits of manhood within your life? I think if we open our Bibles back to 1 Kings chapter 2, you're going to find another passage that is similar to that, pointing to manhood as something that is a noble thing. David is about to die. Solomon is going to be the king, and Solomon is feeling overwhelmed at this moment. And David gives these words of admonition to his son. David said, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man. So what does that mean? In our day and age, and it is in a very real sense deserved, men are not highly thought of. This is the day of the Me Too movement, and I'm not saying that in a way that's disparaging at all. The Me Too movement is in many ways a necessary movement to try to restrain men from their worst and their base behaviors. What I'm saying is, in Scripture, as God made men and as God intended men to act, there is something noble that is supposed to be there. There is something about being a man that is supposed to be worthwhile, something to be looked up to, something that is honorable, so much so that it is a characteristic that all Christians, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, are to take within their lives. So what is that? I want to explore that this morning because we live in a day and age where manhood has been cast aside. You've all seen and heard the stories about sitcoms, and usually in the sitcoms, especially if there's a family situation, the one who's the end of all the jokes is always going to be the man. And that's permeated men today, and what we see is a lot of men don't know what they are supposed to do. And a lot of women aren't willing to let men do what God intended for them to do. So men need help. And they need encouragement in embracing what it means to be a man. I want to share with you four things from Scripture that should be traits of men. This is not an exhaustive list. In fact, there are a lot of books out there that would be good books for men to read about how to be a man. But I want to share with you in just a few moments, just four ideas that are found in Scripture that as men, you and I ought to embrace within our lives. The first one is that we ought to embrace strength. We just sang just a moment, be strong and courageous. That comes from Joshua chapter 1 verses 6 through 9. Where Joshua, about to lead the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, which is going to be an overwhelming task. Joshua is told this by God, be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left, to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the admonition God gives to Joshua is you've got to be strong right now. This is perhaps the first quality we think of men, right? Physically, men are a third stronger than women. They have a third more, typically, muscle mass within their body. And so we think of men who are just strong. They're men's men. You know, that's the idea that comes to our mind. Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, big, strong, powerful dudes. Chuck Norris, you know, he's supposed to be the man's man. Biblically, Samson. Okay? And that's a part of male strength, but it's not really what we're speaking of here. When we talk about strength, we are talking about the ability to stand up to opposition, confident in one's ability to overcome that opposition. I want you to think about that. When we talk about a man being strong, we are talking about a man who knows that there are things he's going to stand against within his life, and he is confident that he has the strength to overcome those things. Now, what kind of strength do men need on a regular basis? Okay. We need strength all the time because of life. Look, life's going to be tough. And life's going to knock you down, guys, if you don't develop within yourself a sense of strength that is necessary. But where do we get this strength? Well, there are a lot of different strengths. You may gain strength from hard work, or maybe you go to the gym, and that's the physical strength. And there's a place for that. Paul said bodily exercise profits a little. There is benefit to physical strength. There is also what I will call occupational strength. And that means a man has strengthened himself to go out and perform a task. Maybe he strengthened himself by going to college. Maybe he strengthened himself by going to some kind of vocational school. But he has prepared himself, and now because he is strong in that vocation, whatever it may be, he's ready to go out there and face that challenge. But the strength that is the most necessary for men is the strength that ultimately and only comes from God. It is a strength that God gives to us. Joshua is told, do not be afraid. I am with you. Men, there are a lot of different strengths that you can pick up within your life. You want to be a real man. You need to follow the advice that God gave to Joshua. You need to be strong in the Lord. Because when God is with you, who is God? God is the creator of the universe. God's the one who made everything. God is the unstoppable force. When God is with you, you can face any situation in life knowing that you can overcome that. Now, what's required of you is obedience. Joshua chapter 1 again. God said, no, you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. You need to know I'm with you. But you've got to make sure you follow the law. And that's the failing of a lot of men. A lot of men want to have this strength, but they don't want to turn themselves over to God. Men, you want to be strong within your life. You young guys, you want to develop strength within your life. You will never have the strength that God intends for you to have, the overwhelming strength, unless you turn to God as your source of strength. That's the first one. Here's the second one. The second admonition that God gave Joshua was to be strong and courageous. There are a lot of things that frighten men today. A lot of things. Some men are afraid of failing their parents. They are afraid of failing societal's expectations of them or the church's expectations of them. The big one today seems to be a fear of relationships. So you have a lot of guys. And look, men have always been afraid of women to some degree or another, but eventually most men move past that. There are a lot, apparently, if statistics are to be believed, there are a lot of men who are not facing the fear of relationship. And instead, they're turning to pornography and to themselves to satisfy their needs. Because they're so afraid of a relationship with a woman. And then there are job fears. You know, how am I going to face my job? How am I going to get out there and provide for myself or provide for my family in life? And they're just personal fears. We know our own failings. And we're afraid to face them because we've been knocked down by our own fears and our own failings time and time again. What is needed in that moment is courage. Strength and courage are not the same thing. If strength is my ability to overcome any obstacle. Courage is my willingness to face that obstacle. And again, just because you have strength doesn't mean you have courage. Those are really two very different things. And what Joshua needed at this moment was not only strength, but Joshua needed courage. Remember Numbers chapter 13 when the Israelites went into the land, the spies, and they came back and they said, well, it's really a great land. It's wonderful. But there are giants here. And they got walled cities and we can't take them. And they so persuaded the people that the people didn't go up in the land, and for 40 years they had to wander. And God is telling Joshua, you need to understand, Joshua, I'm going to give you strength, but you've got to have courage within your life. And men, that's needed for us as well today. Not simply strength, but we need courage as well. David showed it. The text that Gerald read a moment ago. I wish we could spend more time on this. We've got so much to cover. But we read it, and you heard David had to go against the giant. And everyone was afraid of the giant, weren't they? Except the little boy David. And there's just no fear in him. David says, look, God has been with me, and because God was with me, I was able to slay a lion, and I was able to slay a bear, and God's going to deliver me here. And in fact, verse 48 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, David runs out to the giant. He had courage within his life. And though, as Brother Steve showed us a moment ago, Jesus had a degree of fear when he went to the cross, Jesus also had courage. Open your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 26. Listen to the words of Jesus here. Matthew 26, verse 39. In the Garden of Gethsemane, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest for later on. See, the hour's at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, listen to this, let us be going. See, my betrayer's at hand. Jesus reached out there and dealt with it. Jesus embraced courage, and that is what men need to have within their lives today. Courage. Not just strength, as important as it is, but courage. And Paul showed this, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, through him who strengthens me. But Paul is not saying I can pick up a giant rock. He's not saying I can fly. Paul is saying any situation that comes my way, I can deal with that courageously because Christ is with me. And that's where our courage comes from, guys. It's not in yourself. Look, if you're not strong, when you face opposition, you will not have courage. And I don't care how physically strong you are. You'll run across someone or something in life that is bigger and stronger than you. Unless your strength is from God. And the courage that you have to face that opposition comes from Him. So where does strength and courage come from? It comes from God in your life. It is something given to you. The psalmist, Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. The valley of the shadow of death. Even if I'm facing death within my life, I know that I can get through this because you are with me. In Genesis 15, verse 1. Abram was about to go rescue his nephew Lot. God tells him, fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. That's what a man takes up. A man who has accepted the strength that comes from God is a man who knows he has the strength to handle any situation. That does not mean that every situation will be defeated by him. It does mean he can handle every situation. Because sometimes God doesn't want us to overcome every situation. But we have strength and confidence in our God that He will be there with us. And you're going to need it because there are a lot of scary things in life. There are a lot of really difficult things in life, guys. One of the most difficult is overcoming your own sin. Sin is hard. Sin is difficult. Sin wraps its tentacles around us and just seems to strangle us sometimes. And sometimes the easiest thing to do is just throw your hands up and say, I give up. I can't do this. It's too hard. God said to Cain when he was entertaining the idea of killing his brother, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Guys, men, you and I must adopt the courage within our lives to face any sin that is there. And it will knock us down sometimes. But with God at our side, we continue to pound away, courageously standing up to it. Every time it rears its ugly head, we stand up and say, it will not dominate my life. Here's another area where we need courage. To be who we're supposed to be around others. Isn't it easy, in particular with men, for men to go along with the crowd, to fail to stand up to be different within their life? Isn't it easy not to let your light shine? Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, that a lot of people, they put their lamp under a basket. That's not the way it works. So you need to live in such a way, men, that everyone sees your good works and they glorify your Father in heaven. Men, have the courage to live a godly life. Have the courage to stand up to your friends who want to do something that is wrong and say, that's not who I'm going to be. And then men need to make sure that they are strong and courageous in their families. Sometimes it's really hard for a man because his greatest enemies are in his home. Sometimes they're his children. Sometimes his children don't respect him. Sometimes his children do not lift him up. Sometimes his children constantly defy him. You know what the easy thing to do is? Just roll over and say, forget about it. I'm done. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. As daunting as it may be sometimes, as challenging as it may be to keep saying no, that's not appropriate. A man's got to stand up to his children and be courageous. Sometimes it's not just his children. Sometimes it may be his wife that he has to stand against. Now, I'm not trying to be a sexist here, because there are times that women have to stand up against their husbands. But I find the statement that God said to Adam extremely interesting. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, after Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Eve was the one who took the fruit and gave it to her husband, listen to the charge that God made to Adam. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Now, what type of man are we talking about here? We ought to be talking about a godly man who is striving to be a loving husband, not a husband who's abusive. We're talking about a man who is trying to guide his family, and he comes into a situation where his wife is in opposition to the leadership he's trying to give. Because Eve was wrong here. Adam was weak. Eve was wrong. And Adam didn't stand up to her. I think it will be very rare that a man would have to do this. But men, there may be times that you've got to stand up to your wife. Not physically, but as a leader. And lead courageously. And ladies, let me just tell you something. I figured out a couple of years ago. Aside from God, ladies, do you know who the most powerful person in a marriage is? It's not the husband. It's the wife. And that's why women are told to submit. I can make my children obey for a while. I can't force my wife to submit to me. I can't raise my hand against her and beat her. I can't belittle her if I'm to be the husband Ephesians 5 says. The only way I can lead is if my wife willingly submits. So ladies, if you have a husband who is trying to be a godly leader, do him a favor and do your family a favor and submit to him and let him do that. Men, have courage. And you and I need to understand that when we have God on our side, we'll face any situation. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. Paul concludes this chapter by saying, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There may be a constant struggle in your life that you have with a sin, but God will always be there with you. So you need to always face that challenge that comes your way. Here's the third thing. Not only must you embrace strength and embrace courage, but you need to embrace control. Because if you have a man who is strong and a man who is courageous, do you know what type of man you potentially have there? A very dangerous man. Men can be beasts. Historically, men have murdered. Men have raped. They have pillaged. They have stolen. They are abusive because they have this strength about them and that is courage that has not been brought under control. You realize in federal prisons, 93% of people in federal prisons are men because they have not learned restraint and self-control. The proverb writer said this, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Here is the reality. You see a man who is living without self-control in his life, he is glorying in his strength, he is glorying in his own courage to face anything. If he does not control himself, eventually he will be broken down. It's just the way it works. Self-control for a man is a vital and necessary trait. Titus chapter 2 verses 11 through 12. Paul writes, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passion and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. What characteristics are associated with self-control? Godliness, uprightness. The man who wants to be the man God intends for him to be, the man who is able to accomplish whatever needs to be accomplished, is a man who learns to control himself. Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, really a fascinating verse. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And you sit back and you think, well, what did that mean? Because we think of meekness as someone who is weak. You know, someone who's meek is someone, they're a wallflower. They're all sort of, they're just sort of pulled into themselves. They speak in a whisper. And that's not really what a man does. But you know what the Greek word here really gets at? Meekness is strength brought under control. That's what this is dealing with here. It's fascinating, right? So you might think about, you see a circus. And you see this lion tamer. And what does he have? I mean, he's in this ring with this lion. He's got the stick with this little liberty whip at the end of it. And he's, psh, psh, psh. There's a lion right there, dude. I mean, yes, you're in this cage with a lion. And all you've got is a stick? Really? But why can he do that? Because this powerful lion has been brought under control. It's strong enough to go in there and rip into pieces. But it's been brought under control. And that's what a man does. He is aware of his weaknesses. He is aware of his strength. And he understands that that will be his undoing if he doesn't learn control. And even Jesus showed this, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane,
When the guards came and got him, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send to me more than 12 legions of angels?" Oh, so I did some calculating. Legion of 72,000. If you look back in the Old Testament, it was a time when an angel killed 185,000 people. 72,000 angels could kill, without any problem, 13.5 billion people. Okay? Twice the population of the earth right now. No problem. Jesus said, "That's the power I have." But Jesus restrained himself, didn't he? He controlled himself. Why? Because mankind needed him to do this. Men, we have a lot of things that are struggling to cause us to just sort of go nuts sometimes. But there are so many people, and if you're married, you have a family that needs you to live a life that is self-controlled. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, Paul said, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul said, look, one of the things I've got to do within my life, because of the role I'm doing, I've got to control myself. I do not have the luxury. Those of you who teach, you do not have the luxury of losing control. Those of you who have families, you do not have the luxury of losing control. Those of you who work around non-Christians, you do not have the luxury of losing control. So, what is a man controlled by? Well, there are at least two things. You can be controlled by yourself, and that can be pretty good sometimes. You may be living by a moral standard that is pretty good, and you can do a lot of good things. But you're still going to give in sometimes, and you're going to be destructive because you're not living by a higher standard. The standard that you and I as men are to be guided by is God. God is the one that we're controlled by. Because understand this, guys, please listen to me. You cannot be controlled by two things at one time. You can't. You cannot be controlled by lust and controlled by God. You cannot be controlled by anger and controlled by God. You cannot be controlled by willfulness and controlled by God. So you've got to submit yourself to God and you've got to let God control you. God's not going to force his way upon you. You've got to let God take control of your life. Now the last point, and the lesson will be yours. We talked about the idea that manhood is embracing strength, is embracing courage, it is embracing control. It is finally embracing responsibility within your life. Growing up is about accepting responsibility gradually, right? So, a child, 6 months old, okay. You know, they have one responsibility. That is to wake their mom and dad up at 3 o'clock in the morning because they're hungry and their diaper's dirty. Okay. That's their only responsibility. And they do it really well, you know, without thinking. But that's their responsibility. But as they start getting older, they learn to start sleeping through the night in their own bed and not getting up in every hour of the night. And they learn to start opening their mouth so the choo-choo train can bring food into their mouth. And then they start using their utensils and they start eating their vegetables. And they start going to the potty by themselves successfully, which is always good. They start learning how to brush their teeth on a regular basis, maybe when they're teenagers. They start, I'm not saying that because I had a problem with my girls on that. I'll hear about that later. They did a great job. They start learning how to cut the grass. They learn how to clean their rooms up. They start slowly accepting responsibility. And that's just the growth process. And it's natural. And you notice if you have children, when they start doing things and they start doing things well, there's this pleasure. I remember the girls used to watch this TV show when they were little, Bob the Builder. So
Bob the Builder, he would build something. He'd say, I made that, you know, let's do this. And children, they're fascinated. And there's this sense of reward that comes when they're responsible and they accomplish things. It's a really man trait. God made us to be responsible within our lives. He expects responsibility. Deuteronomy 24, verse 16. Fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. Each one shall be put to death for his own sin. Now, that's a very morose topic there. But the point is that everyone is responsible for what they do. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Paul said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body. Who's responsible for what they do in the body? Each person is. And then Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. For each will have to bear his own load. Now, earlier in the text, he had said that we're supposed to bear the load of other people. And that's fine. And what he's really getting at is you need to live your life in such a way that you're responsible for yourself. And if someone needs help, you can help them. But you live so that someone doesn't have to take their time to help you. All of us are going to fail from time to time, and there's nothing wrong with accepting help. But there's just this admonition, be responsible in your life. Take care of things. So what do you need to be responsible? Well, you need strength. You need courage. You need control. All those build to this one point. All of these are necessary for you in your life to accept responsibility. You don't have strength, you're going to run from responsibility. You have courage, you're going to run from responsibility. You don't have control over yourself, you're going to run from responsibility. They all build to this. And the Bible, if you think about it, the Bible is a book filled with people who either accepted responsibility or they did not. Genesis chapter 6, mankind rejected responsibility before God. Noah accepted it. King Saul rejected responsibility before God. David accepted it. Judas denied responsibility. Peter accepted it. Because that's what life is about. That is where anyone finds meaning in fulfilling their duty and doing what they need to do. Matthew 25, you remember the story of the talents. Two talent man and one talent man. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, to the five talent man who came back and said, look, I worked and I did this and I brought you five more. What was it that the master said? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I will tell you from children. When you praise a child for doing something well, there is this swell within them. It's not necessarily a sinful pride, but it's, I accomplished something. I did well. What do you think the servant would have imagined here in this parable? Thank you. I'm so glad I did well. I'm so glad I had this opportunity. There's meaning there. To the two-talent man, same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. You want to find joy within your life. You want to find meaning in your life. Live up to your responsibilities and stop making excuses. That's what the one talent man did. The one talent man said, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter, where you scattered no seed. This is the reason why he made an excuse. If you remember the parable, the master was not satisfied with it. Men, if in your life you fail to live up to your responsibility, I'm not saying you stumble from time to time, you fail, you shirk your responsibility, God will not be pleased. Excuses do not work. Adam and Eve. Okay. God said, well, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat from? And what was the first thing Adam said? It's the woman's fault. It's the woman. And by the way, he said, the woman that you gave me. So not only was he pointing in that direction, he pointed up there to God too. And Eve said, well, you know, it's the serpent's fault. And you might even read into that, well, you made the serpent. Okay? So it's not my fault either. God held them all responsible. That's what happens to us. Look, life is hard. And I'm not saying that in a facetious way. life is genuinely hard. Everyone doesn't start off on the same level playing field. In fact, some people will never be on a level playing field. That may change at some point in the future. Right now, that's the way it is. Everyone doesn't have the same health. Everyone doesn't have the same money. Everyone doesn't have the same opportunities. Life is difficult. And you can use those to make excuses for your failures, or you can man up and step up to the plate and do what you need to do with what you need to do. Joseph. Look at the life of Joseph. And what a rotten life that guy had. One day his brothers take him. And first they want to kill him, and then they decide they're going to sell him into slavery. So he already knows his brothers hate him, and they sell him into slavery. He doesn't know if his father feels the same way. Because the last time the text tells us he talked to his father, he's telling his father, by the way, you're going to be bowing down to me one day. So maybe his father was in on this. So he goes off to Egypt, and he knows his brother hates him. Maybe his dad hates him. But as a slave, he accepts responsibility. He works hard. He does well. And then one day, his master's wife turns on him. She begins to make sexual advances. He says, I can't do that. I'm responsible for the Lord. He goes to prison. Not overnight. So there in prison, there's this ray of hope because he runs across two guys and they have dreams. He goes, well, by the way, I can tell you what dreams mean. And one guy goes, well, I dreamed this. And he goes, well, that means that you're going to go back to the Pharaoh's court. And the other guy goes, well, I dreamed this, the bakery. He said, well, that means you're going to die. But to the butler, he said, when you get before the king, remember me. So there's his hope. And the butler goes and he forgets about it. Now, I know things turn around for him, but I'm saying life was tough for him. And life's going to be tough for everybody to some degree or another. And some people, like I said, are getting knocked down time and time again. A man doesn't make excuses. Those realities may be there. That's not to say those realities aren't affecting his life. Maybe they are. Maybe he had a rotten father. Maybe he had a rotten mother. Maybe he had a rotten childhood. Okay. And it's serious. I'm not belittling that at all. And it is a real problem a lot of people have to deal with. But you got to figure out. Is this going to define me or not? Or am I going to rise up to be the person God wants me to be? So let me just close with this. What are the things men need to take responsibility for? Men need to make sure they take responsibility for work. Scripture admonishes men, get out there and work and accomplish something in life. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Listen to that last statement. What an incredible statement. What is an unbeliever? Someone who never comes to Christ, someone who has no opportunity to be saved. And he said, if you don't work in your life, guys, you don't get in there and struggle and do what you're supposed to do, you're worse off than an unbeliever. That's incredible. So prepare yourself, guys, to work. You saw the story a few weeks ago about the, I think he was 36 years old, living in his mom and dad's basement, and they had to get a court order to get him out of their house. Did you see that story? 36 years old. And the guy said he didn't even know if he could afford boxes to move out. Guys, if you're in that position in life, you need to man up. You don't want to be 30 years old living with your mom and dad. Now, there could be some circumstances that necessitate that. I'm not saying things don't change. I'm not saying it's wrong for someone to receive assistance from someone else. You might have to receive government assistance for a period of time. But that is not to be your norm in life. Men, get out there and work. Here's another thing. Men are going to deal with their moral failings. They're going to face those moral failings. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Paul said, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming, and these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Throughout that text, you is the one who has to act. It's not my role as a preacher to make sure you live the way you're supposed to live. I can't make you do that. The elders here cannot make you do that. Your parents cannot make you do what you're supposed to do.
It is only when you bring yourself under God's control that you can start dealing with sin within your life. That is your duty and responsibility. And we'll close with this one. You need to accept the responsibility of serving God. A lot of men who want to be strong and courageous never turn to God. A lot of men who fake and feign strength and courage spiritually never turn to God. 2 Peter 3 verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Men, let me ask you this. Please listen to me, okay? How much have you grown spiritually in the last year? The last 2 years. Have you grown spiritually in the last 5 years? If your answer to any of those is no, you're not fulfilling your responsibility to serve God. And that's your duty. God made you to do that. When you fulfill that duty, that's when you'll find meaning. When you become His child, and some of you need to become a Christian today. Stop faking it. And man up and start being who you need to be. Some of you have been baptized, but you're not living the Christian life. You're not leading your family. You're not setting a good example for other people. You're not dealing with sin within your life. You can't serve God that way. So I encourage you, be responsible and embrace responsibility. Let me tell you this, not only will God be at your side, I'll be at your side and I'll do everything I can to encourage you. And your brothers and sisters, in particular, your fellow men here, ought to be willing to step up and do everything they can to help you be a man. So what does it mean to embrace manhood? It doesn't mean that you have to be married. It doesn't mean that you have to have a job making 6 or 7 figures. It doesn't mean that you have to have children. It means that you need to be someone who is strong, courageous, bringing that strength and courage under control, and fulfilling your duties before God. Now, how challenging is that? I guess conceptually, I want to emphasize to you, this is not that difficult. But the execution can be challenging. I pray that God will give you, and give me, the strength to be the men that we need to be. And that we'll accept what God gives us. To be the men in our families, the men in our churches, the men in our communities. That our communities, our churches, and our families need. Let's bow our head. Our Father, in a day and age where men have not lived up to your expectations, we have pursued our own will, we have pursued our own sexual appetites, we have damaged and destroyed others, we pray, dear Father, that in this congregation, men will rise up with the determination to live differently. I pray, dear Father, for strength for myself and strength for all the men here. I pray, dear Father, that we will listen carefully to the words of your scriptures and take these words to heart and no longer settle to be large children. But on this day in which we honor men, rise up to be the men that you'd have us to be. If there are any men here who are not living the way that they ought to live, who have never come to you, who are embracing sin within their life, may there be within their hearts this morning a resolve to change. And if someone needs to be baptized this morning, we pray that your word will work on them and they'll make that determination. If they need to repent as your child, that they will do that. Dear Father, may we understand there is too much at risk here, too many challenges that are before us. Help us to be who you'd have us to be. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. This morning, if you're not a Christian and you'd like to become one, if you're a child of God and you have sin within your life, or you just need strength and you need help, we encourage you to come now while we stand, while we sing for your encouragement.